Dear friends, in this weekly study of Bhagavad Gita going on for almost last 5 years, we have covered really by the grace of God almost all philosophical issues or philosophical contents of the book. Also we have seen how the practice should go on for implementing these ideas or these philosophies actually in one's life. The course of discussion, Lord analyzed the problem of all of us, and that is the real cause for our suffering and our bondage in this world, from which we want to get liberated and attain the peace and bliss. The problem was that we get attached to things which are by their very nature transitory. They come and go. But because we are ignorant of the true essence, the unchanging essence or the substance of which these are various names and forms, we try to hold on to the names and forms instead of holding to the essence. And thus, in trying to achieve this impossible, we get frustrated. We get terribly depressed, dejected, and feel very much loss of peace of mind, and continuous irritation is the result. So Lord said that in the second chapter that we have to see the true nature of ourselves. And that again answers the question about the true nature of the world, because when we learn about one's true nature, we see that we are really one without second. The whole universe and I are not different at all. Apparently, a very counterintuitive conclusion, but it is so true that the divisions or the separations that we see are results of illusion. And through various examples and telling Arjuna to ponder over his own experience, gradually the truth sets in, and also Lord showed that this is an experience that each of us can have, in fact should have. It is theoretical understanding is good, necessary, but what is further necessary is the practical realization of these very principles. And so he shows how the life can be molded to actualize all these things. Means to what you understand becomes a palpable, concrete, tangible, practical experience. the practical experience of unreality gets replaced by the practical experience of reality. And this is the whole of spiritual life, to give up the practical experience that we have, but that of unreal, passing something, by having the practical experience of reality. Both are practical experiences. For example, we have a practical experience of these names and forms around us. We see them as real, and we do not see the temporary nature of them. We therefore cling to them. The moment we understand that something is not real, and for that the criterion given is so beautiful that it is easy to understand that something is not real by seeing that it changes. It changes, and it is not permanent. So even the permanent things that appear to be there for quite some time, because they have name and form, gradually we see that they don't remain. They come and go. Coming and going is their very nature. And then we look for that which does not go away, the true ID, the true self. And then we learn to experience that. It is here that the training aspect comes in, to feel the reality of the ocean and not of the waves. Not that you have to not to see the waves. See the waves, but see them as a temporary thing. Means wave will come, wave will rise, and wave goes away. Don't stick to the wave, stick to the ocean. Sticking to the wave is foolishness, because it is changing in spite of your wanting it to change. And you want to hold on to it, but you cannot. And once you know that it is temporary, you will not hold on to it. This is our automatic psychological impulse, that whenever we really understand something to be temporary, our attachment for it goes away. Like you are not attached to your seat in the plane. You use it, you don't say that I will not sit on that seat because it is temporary. You sit on it, you use it, you also make a choice of the better of the available seats. That's all right. But you don't attach glue on it before sitting. You do not want to carry it with you once your destination comes. Because you know that it is temporary, you don't get attached to it. But these names and forms around, we somehow get the feeling that they are permanent. They are going to be with us. Our body, we get attached to that, and thus we lose that understanding. It kind of feeds each other, that because we lose the understanding of its temporariness, we get attached to it. And as we attach to it, we get attached to it, we try to hold on to it. And thus, we to deliberately push aside the reasoning of its impermanence. The impermanence is not being looked at, and thus the attachment goes on increasing, the bondage goes on increasing, the suffering goes on increasing, and yet we refuse to see the impermanence all around. That is what Buddha tried to teach, that look at the impermanence. These forms are not real, they have no content. They rise and fall, they come and go. Don't get caught in them. And this is an experience that one can have through what is called yoga. Yoga is the changing of our awareness through practice. The understanding is to be converted into experience. And Arjuna has been given the knowledge of all that. Various questions of Arjuna, which had tremendous practical significance, they had been answered very beautifully. And in the last chapter that we were studying, 15th chapter of this book, which is in a way culmination of all the teachings that we have in Bhagavad Gita, culmination, the supreme. In a way, Bhagavad Gita ends there, giving the knowledge of our true self, Purushottama. Purushottama, a very beautiful word. Purusha is the being inside, what we have our understanding as I. And you see, we all surely have this undeniable feel of I am. I am is something that we can never push aside. But our understanding of what this I is keeps on fluctuating, keeps on changing, and thus we get confused that what is this I. For many people, at most of the times, the understanding of I is this body. For example, if the body falls down, I say I fell down. If the body is healthy, I say I am healthy. If the body is sick, I say I am sick. If the body goes to India, I say I had gone to India, and so forth, you see. We attach ourselves to bodies. But it is not that always this comes or this bears out to be right, because for example, that I gave many very often, because it can be tested right here, that you are all bodily here at Vedanta Society, but are your minds all the time here? Are you really here all the time? You will see that it's not always. You try, that is actually why you have come here, but then it slips away. You are not there, the body is there. So then the question really becomes very intense, that who am I then if I am not just this heap of flesh and blood? We don't really want to be identified with that if we see what it is. Even at the emotional and aesthetic level, our feelings that we have, we won't like that I should be this big heap. Big or small, after all, that's relative, but this heap of just flesh, blood, dung and all that. Am I that? It is, if you are told that you are that, we all will shudder really. I am not that. And yet, we identify with that. Then what am I? Am I these thoughts? Am I these feelings? We at times identify with that. Also, we identify with our understanding, our brain, our ideas. It is always very fluctuating. Who really am I? When I think that I am this body, then I should not be much concerned of what's happening around. After all, it is not happening to me. But I get touched by that. You see that a mother gets sometimes even more affected by the joys and sorrows of the children. The children get some success and the mother goes and tells about it to everyone with tremendous joy. And if the child is suffering, well, the mother gets that feeling very intensely. That shows that we are not this piece of body, what it is. So, this understanding is refined in this 15th chapter, that really try to see who you are, and then you see that truly speaking you are the divine, all-pervading, the God. What is our idea of God? The totality of bliss, the peace, the totality of perfection, the perfection itself. We are that. So uttama means the best, the perfect, the supreme. So we are that supreme. Purushottama, the Supreme Being. Let us get to this in some cultural formats which has been going on for quite some time. This understanding is akin to being blasphemous, that I am divine. My goodness, no. I should never even think of me like that. How can I be that divine? I am so imperfect. I have so many blemishes. I am not that. But all these things are products of ignorance. If we get rid of ignorance, and we all want to get rid of ignorance, and when we get rid of ignorance, all the outcomes of ignorance, they also vanish. And the outcome, the ignorance that I am this little body, goes away. Yes, at the level of the body, we get that feeling, that idea that I am a little being. I cannot be perfect. I am not always blissful, and so forth. But when this ignorance is removed, then as you are the whole, you are the perfect. And that is how we really understand things even in the world, that we are dreaming to be something. But when the dream is over, we know it was that ignorance that made me feel like that. So this Purushottama, the Supreme Being, and when one realizes that, when one gets the knowledge of that, then all these superstitious ideas about I being the non-perfect, I being little somebody, I being buffeted in joys and sorrows, elations and depressions, all those vanish in a jiffy. You know you are perfect. You know you are immortal. You know that you are beyond space and time, and you reside in that unspeakable, immense perfection. So, in a way, Bhagavad Gita concludes there. But certain auxiliary things were not elaborated earlier. Lord had hinted at them, but not elaborated. They are auxiliary, but please do not think that they are of any less importance. They are very important. Sometimes these 16th, 17th and 18th chapters of Bhagavad Gita are not given the attention they deserve, because it appears that it is all simple, especially the 16th and 17th chapters. 18th, because it contains a summarization of all the ideas that have come in Bhagavad Gita previously. The students of Bhagavad Gita, they pay more attention to it. But the 16th chapter and 17th chapter, they tend to get neglected. Friends, we cannot afford to commit that folly, because these are very important for the practical spiritual life. This is something that one cannot neglect at all. The cultivation of the qualities that take us towards this realization, and removing those traits which take us away from it. Life, as we see, is a journey, and in this journey, that which propels it towards the destination, that needs to be cultivated, that which helps the journey onwards. And then those things which block the journey, which block our progress, they need to be eliminated. These are very important practical things. Lord had indicated them in the 7th chapter, but did not give the details. In the 7th chapter, Lord told that there are traits which tend to make a person a devotee, and there are traits that make that person go away from devotion. So he characterized them as demonic qualities which take that person away from going towards God. He calls them Naradhamaha, means the lowest among human beings, Adhama, that lowest in the sense of being not aware of the divine nature, and thus they commit the heinous and demonic acts because of lack of cultivation of the divine things. And the other divine people, that also he mentioned, but he did not elaborate on both these, that and that thing remained to be elaborated, probably as some commentators said that he might have wanted to elaborate on that, but Arjuna asked some other questions which were also important, and therefore those things got sidelined at that time. But Lord had not forgotten that these are matters that which need attention, because Lord knows the practical pitfalls, knows our weakness, that we understand and yet don't implement. We know and yet do not express that knowledge in our behavior. So there are these impediments, and those impediments express in our life as the demonic qualities and the angelic qualities or the divine qualities. We see this that non-cultivation of the angelic qualities and non-removal of the demonic nature makes the life a big mess. It's just last Friday we know a terrible incident occurred right in the neighboring state that really shook the sane people around. We are all concerned that why such things happen. What makes a person just go and commit such heinous act like spraying bullets through the little bodies, the little people around, and making, you know, this whole thing such a in a sorry state. It is, I was in India at that time when this happened, and in India also people were all talking about it with great feeling that why such things happen. And friends, the answer is that there need to be efforts to make the demonic features or demonic traits in one to be eliminated. By making laws, this cannot happen. It's not enough, friends, to change the laws of the social systems like politics and so forth. But an inner change, a deeper change, needs to be accompanying those, the change in one's character. And unless that is done, we have to make really efforts to do that, friends. Then only the other measures that one can take or can think of taking would really succeed. It is the inner character that really prompts our behavior. It is sometimes seen that, well, after all, behavior is important. Let a person behave well in society. Who cares what the inner feelings are? What is forgotten here is that it is the outer expression is really manifestation of what is inside, and unless that gets changed, unless that becomes better, the life will be always in this terrible mire of sufferings and cruelty all around. So therefore one has to make a concerted effort to do this. This is a very practical thing, friends. The demonic nature has to be overcome by the cultivation of the divine qualities. both these things need to be done. I mean, these are the two sides of the same process of inner healing. That just as when we have some disease, then and we take the twofold measure. One is taking the medication, and the second thing is don't do those things by which the disease aggravates further. So both these things are needed in this also at the mental level. Elimination of the demonic traits and cultivation of the divine traits. Many times this question gets asked that well, why do we not experience the devotion to Lord? We know and we want that we should have the devotion to God, but this question comes again and again, but why am I not feeling it to the extent that I want to feel it? In Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna also, you see this question asked again and again, that sometimes in positive words, sometimes in kind of negative words, like sometimes you see the question framed like this, that how will the mind turn to God? What will make the mind turn to God? Sometimes the question is phrased like, why the mind does not go to God? It goes to all the pleasures of the senses, which turn immediately sour, which always tend to make people intensely competitive, and also therefore they try to see that the other person gets eliminated so that I will not have to face that stiff a competition. On the one hand, we want the success of ours, and just to make that success easier and less bothersome, we see that the other should not succeed so that I will be able to. Otherwise, I have to take a stiff competition. So, we see that there are these traits in us, they need to be assiduously understood and studied, and there have to be efforts put in that direction. And the more the efforts we put, we will see automatically we will see that the life starts changing. It is not that the spiritual life doesn't really happen, doesn't take place. It is only because we don't practice. It's like saying, sitting in one place that is maybe at your home and saying that, well, Vedanta Society of Providence is not there at all, nobody can reach there. If you sit tight in your seat at home, naturally you will not get there. But if you start a journey towards it in the right manner, following the directions properly, one has to follow the directions properly. Otherwise, people are right in the vicinity and coming from outside, and as we all know, this city is not very friendly in that sense to the drivers coming from other places. The maze of one ways, and they not having the road signs creates difficulties, and so they are right around here but can't get. Within half a mile from here, they keep on circulating for over an hour. And it happens. So, what I mean is the proper directions need to be followed. Then you can get to the place. The place is. The Lord is. Our true divine nature is. It is an experiential reality. We all can experience it, provided we follow these directions. So, Lord is in this 16th chapter going to tackle this most important practical issue, how to enhance the divine qualities and how to reduce the demonic nature. It needs to be told because we may just say that, well, I am not having any demonic qualities. It is just because we don't want to look at them. No, friends, they are there. It is in the human psyche, and those things are embedded. Like we all have the selfish feelings, and we all have traits. Sometimes they get expressed, sometimes they don't get expressed, that's about it. But there are many times the unsavory or undesirable emotions in us. So instead of just not choosing to look at them, we should look at them and eliminate them. Many times people say this about me, that I don't tend to keep the things very beautiful and tidy, because I don't see anything wrong in that, you know. Even if they are disorganized, clothes lying here, there, they books scattered around, unless you see that there is something wrong, you cannot really do it well. So somebody who can see it sometimes then steps in, and then I see, wow, the thing is really, it needed attention. So it is like that with our life too, that we do not get a feel of the big mess because we don't understand, we don't choose to look at those. But that doesn't mean that the problem is not there. To locate this book of Bhagavad Gita today, before the class, it took me some time, you know. Now, it is because there is not the right organization and so forth. So, we have to pay attention to that, understand that. So there are many undesirable things in us that need to be eliminated. And there are many things that we know that they are important and they need to be cultivated, enhanced, so that the mind will go to truth, the God, and the mind will not get stuck in what is not real. So, Lord begins this chapter without Arjuna's asking any question. All the questions that were apparently in his mind had been answered. Now, at this time, it seems that all has been achieved. Till now, this question is brought forth by Lord himself, that while the cultivation of the angelic or the divine qualities and elimination of the demonic nature. So this 16th chapter begins with Lord saying, Shri Bhagavan Vacha Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhir Jnana Yoga Vyavasthitihi Danam Damascha Yajnascha Svadhyaya Stapajavam. Fearlessness, purity of heart, steadfastness in the yoga of knowledge, charity, self-control, sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, uprightness. Then the next verse continues, two more verses. Ahimsa satyam akrodha tyaga shantir abhishunam dayabhuteshvalolutvam mardamam hirachapalam tejakshamadhritishaucham adroho natimanita bhavanti sampadam daivi abhijatasya bharata. Non-injury, truthfulness, absence of anger, self-sacrifice, tranquility, freedom from slander, kindness to beings, non-covetousness, gentleness, modesty, absence of fickleness, boldness, forgiveness, fortitude, purity, absence of hatred, absence of conceit. These belong to one born for divine wealth. O descendant of Bharata. These are the divine qualities that Lord has narrated. Told Arjuna and all of us that you have them too. Maybe in a small measure or big measure, but the seeds are there, they can be cultivated. So don't tell yourselves that I can't cultivate them, because I don't have that basically in me. One needs to be born with them. You can't cultivate these things. We have those things at least in the seed form, abhijatasi, that it is such a beautiful word. Again, this word will come with emphasis after a few verses, that we all have these seeds of these. Some already are getting cultivated, and some people, many of these are highly cultivated. But the point is, everybody has the potential to cultivate them. The seeds are there, the soil is there. Only the efforts are to be put in to bring them together, they will get cultivated. It is like that. Therefore, Lord emphasizes that when the list is being told, many people all over the world, and it is sad but true, in America, people keep on emphasizing this negativity, that I am like this, I am so bad, I have no good qualities. The disease of depression is so widespread. It is that we keep on telling ourselves, I am bad, I am not good, I am a sinner, I am a born sinner, instead of understanding that I am born divine. This is to be strongly emphasized, friends, that I am born divine. I have the seeds for all these. My father was like that and my mother was like that. And every time what I tried to do, I failed. Failure is pursuing me all through my life, and I can't do anything good, and so forth. Keep on making again and again our life more and more miserable through such thoughts. It is very important, therefore, as Lord mentioned here, that sampadam daivim abhijatasya bharata, all these great qualities, we have them at least in the seed form. And what it indicates is that we can cultivate them. This chapter doesn't need too much of elaboration really. The things are told, most of us can easily see that. But these certain underlying these connotations of these phrases, that yes, emphasize that abhayam, fearlessness. Yes, we have the seed to cultivate it. That needs to be cultivated, friends. We get too scared. Many times we may not show it, but inside we feel it. Very widespread disease of being scared. In fact, our national psyche is caught up in this disease of being always afraid. Somebody will take me away, somebody will attack me, somebody will... So it is this fear, this is to be, you know, removed from mind, abhayam. I don't mean that you should throw all the care and caution to the winds, but being constantly having this fear psychology, just keeps on, we keep on breeding enemies with that. So it should be kept in mind, abhayam, that fearlessness. Because this fearlessness will make us go ahead. Every progress happens because of this basic thing, fearless. When you are going in an unknown territory, and since you have not gone there, it is for all of us, it is kind of unknown. So they speak of fear of unknown. One very common fear that the psychologists speak of is fear of unknown. What will happen if I become spiritual? What's going to happen? You will become a better person. We are afraid of being spiritual. This fear has to be removed. It is only those who get rid of fear can take up some important undertakings in life. Otherwise, we will not be able to do it. This is a big enemy, fear. The other properties, other qualities that need to be cultivated. Cultivated, friends, means we already have the seeds. We don't have to buy the seeds. We have the seeds. We need to cultivate them. That's all. So we shall continue this study next Friday. Any questions about today's discussion? Yes, Richard?
What if you find yourself in a divine state, and not your body or not your mind? You find that there are a lot of very heavily programmed people all around you.
Hey.
But Jesus decided to go out there and preach what was real, and they nailed him to a cross. So, what undertaking would Jesus take right now, given how violent the world is? What would he do if he came back?
A very good question, that we are so much concerned about the other people, you know, that you try to grow yourself into a good man, but what about the people around, you know? as they are so vile and so bad, look at what they did to Jesus. Well, Jesus will still do the same thing today also. What he did 2000 years ago, he will do it today too. He is not afraid of being crucified. And it is, he knows that it is the body that is going to be crucified. And look what a great lesson it gave to the world. The crucifixion is what really made the Christianity spread. The message got spread through that crucifixion and resurrection. That is why those incidents are so important. The people could see that non-corporeal nature of Jesus when he was crucified, where those words came up that, "Lord, forgive them." No sense of revenge, no sense, no idea that the people around are bad. It is we see bad around us only because we have those things in us. When you eliminate those things, that what you are thinking now will be completely changed. You will not see the world full of all such bad people. It is our seeing will get changed. It is the bad people around, they are our reflections. Remember that. It sounds horrible, but it is they are all really not out of us. Like you see in dream, somebody is doing murder. Where was that murderer? It sprang just out of your mind there. It is so also in this universe. And they just spring out of us, friends. Yes?
But I didn't say bad people. I said heavily programmed. Nice people, bad people. Programmed not to be in divinity. Programmed not to be.
Yes.
I mean, I'm okay with them all, but what action do I take? Do I really need to try to...
Yes. I fully appreciate this, that if they are heavily programmed, the programming can be replaced, you see, but you have to make heavy attempts to get rid of that program and put another. It is actually the program is there. When you say that it is heavily programmed, what is actually happening is heavily malfunctioning, that's all. This program, it is affected by the virus, and so it is malfunctioning. What you need to do there is to remove this virus, and that will make the actual program function well. So that is, yeah.
Do you think Christianity really did anything positive for the world?
Of course, it did a lot of positive things. It is such, that is why the negative also gets seen. The negative appears because this is human nature, that on a white screen, if you put a black dot, that black dot gets seen. And not the big white screen on which it is put. So, it's like that. Those things get seen, but the great work that all the great religions have done, this morning, early morning, we were having that beautiful reading from Swami Vivekananda, where he says that, look, nothing... no other thing has done so much of violence than religion. and nothing has done so much of charitable and loving things than religion. So, there is so much good thing that is done through all these wonderful religions. They have done great good things. But non-understanding of them or non-practicing them makes people do many bad things as well. Thank you. So, let us conclude with the closing prayers. Today was Swami Premananda's birthday, and so there is a little offering. It is kept there for you to take as prasad. Also, on we all know about the Sunday lecture. Also, tomorrow there will be again the guided meditation programs as usual. On 24th, that is Monday evening, there will be a special Christmas Eve service which will start at 7, and there will be it will begin with our regular arati, and then there will be a little worship, then the readings and reflections on Sermon on the Mount, then also the imitation of Christ, and so forth. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarehi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmat Vinesrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrah Tasya Namani Yani Karmapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu. Thank you.